This is Designing Transition, a podcast about designing for systems level change towards more sustainable and equitable futures. It is also a podcast about the transitions design is taking in practice when it's concerned with the complex and interconnected challenges societies face today. Esto es Diseño en Transición, un podcast sobre cambios a nivel sistémico por medio del diseño que nos guía hacia futuros más justos y sostenibles. También es un podcast sobre las transiciones que el diseño está teniendo en la práctica, cuando trata con los desafíos complejos e interconectados que enfrentan las sociedades hoy en día. Este primer episodio es en inglés. Si te interesa escuchar sobre lo que significa diseñar para el desarrollo de políticas públicas, los episodios 2 y 3 de esta serie son en español. Hi, this is Sofía Bosch Gómez, co-host of the Designing Transition, Diseño en Transición podcast. If you have listened to previous episodes of the podcast, you may know that I'm interested in researching how designers can contribute to better public policy creation and making. For the past 2.5 years, I was lucky enough to connect with an international group of people that were interested in the same research topics and are doing fantastic work in this space. We call ourselves the Designing Policy Network, and as a community of practice, we have learned to support each other in our different endeavors. Now, we are interested in going public, in connecting to larger communities, and to share some of our learnings developed throughout professional and academic practices. In this short 3-episode series, members of the network will discuss what it means to design for policy within a government context and how that manifests in the creation and implementation of public policies. In this first episode, we will listen to Doctor in Design Francesco Leoni from Politecnico di Milano and Polifactory, Politecnico's Makerspace and Fab Lab. And from Amy Kim, PhD candidate at the Faculty of Industrial Design Engineering at TU Delft in the Netherlands. Francesco researches data-centered public sector innovations and their impact on policymaking. And Amy investigates how to scale design practices in government. We hope you enjoy the discussion. Francesco, Amy, welcome to the Designing in Transition podcast. We are so happy to have you here. And I just want to get us started with a very broad question, but I think one that can give us a lot to discuss. What do we mean when we talk about designing in a policy context? Francesco, do you want to get us started?
Sure. Thanks, Sofía. Thank you very much for having us. This is a great occasion to speak out to the public, and I'm very glad to be here. And, the question is quite tough, but in my view, designing we use with the gerund defines a discussion on how designs should be done. And that discussion mostly happens within academia, but has also influenced design practice extensively. And with designing in that gerund form, we are talking about a paradigm of design action that defines an in-progress design process, which is path-dependent, is contextual, and includes external stakeholder perspective to mediate, possibly, between them in the act of design something. What it means in a policy context it might be quite complicated to say, because it forced designer to take issue with institutional boundaries, norms, and finally politics. So it's so to say a story that we are researching, that we are taking part is an advanced discussion within the field and the discipline. But the point is, designers are increasingly part of the public sphere and government. And so it's interesting to understand what is the contamination between the design perspective and the design practice, more importantly, and the broader context in which they are asked to contribute.
Thank you, Francesco. That's a really kind of concise and good introduction to the topic. Amy, anything you want to add?
Yeah, maybe the same thing, but a bit more plain language. So I think to talk about what we mean by designing in a policy context, we should first talk about what public policies is. And I think public policy is what governments do to govern a state, a region, or a nation. And that could be so many different kinds of activities. And designing in a policy context means using design approaches for that different kinds of activities. So in that way, it's a very heterogeneous practices. So as Francesco said, it could be using design in different stages of policy process, or it could mean different design capabilities by policy makers and public employees. And also it can mean different ways of citizen engagement in policy processes.
Thank you, Amy. That's very, very interesting. And I think it's a good segue into another question that I wanted us to discuss, which is, what are the implications of having designers in government? If you are explaining this in such a kind of saying that it has this broad meaning, right? It can go from design capabilities to different ways of actually implementing policies or even developing governance schemes. So what's the role of designers in all of this? Like, what are we doing there?
Yeah, I think I'll try to be very plain on that, saying that first of all, hopefully it's gonna mean that we're gonna have better digital services, better government platform. And as Amy was saying, in whatever context in which the government intends to have citizen engagement, is going to have a design flavor to citizen engagement and participation. So better co-creation, better co-design. And so it's going to be very much about practice and the output of this practice within what Amy was rightfully saying is a very broad spectrum of practice which defines policymaking. And the point is that if that broad spectrum of practice defines policymaking, and those practices change because they become also design practice to a certain extent, then policymaking might change. And that is the question behind our research, and not just our research, the research of several scholars which have been following these experimental practices. But then, of course, it's not just about the individual practices, it's also about the broader institutional context and the constraints that that context gives to the practices. And in this interplay, there is much to discover, and it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, I think it just overlaps again with what Francesco said. So I think having a designer in government, that's just one way of introducing design practice in government. So often they hire a strategic designer or set up a public sector innovation lab within government to start with design practice. But also many times government, before hiring a designer inside, they test, you know, with the external designers on project base. So because they need to know what value design has for their work. And so when they kind of decide to hire a designer, I think it can mean that they want to build the design capability within their organization that connects to, you know, what Francesco said, they want to change, you know, maybe their policymaking practice. But then often I think we overlook that having designers inside government and doing design practice also entails organizational change. And that can mean, I don't know, maybe changing to a more collaborative way of working and also, you know, collaborating within the government, but also outside, you know, stakeholders with stakeholders outside government. And there are not yet many studies about how far or government can change through design practices. And honestly, I don't think it's only by, you know, design practice that they change it, but it's more like there are kind of a trend of government innovation and design is helping them to make it faster or something. Yeah.
Those are all very, very interesting points. And they make me kind of think of all these questions just to start
why would we want to change the way things are, right? Like, why are we talking about change and the inclusion of design practices or designers within these spaces? What are your thoughts on that? What is kind of like the main kind of sparking endeavor for change within the public realm or the public sector?
Yeah, so actually the reason why I started my PhD was from my experience working with Korean government. So I was in I was writing a kind of strategic report for in a project. And out of that project, I had a kind of a doubts about, you know, our government. Key questions was how government money can be better spent and how can we better deal with social innovation, social problems. And social problems are very complex. And what many experts say is that governments are not good at dealing with these complex social problems. So I think that's where kind of design practices enters the scene of policy, yeah, public sector.
Thank you, Amy. That's really interesting because you have the Korean context, right? Now you've been working in a kind of a European one. Francesco, you have experience in the European scene and in Italy. Can you give us that perspective? It's quite different from the one I have from Mexico and Latin America. So it's interesting just to see this comparison.
Yeah, I think that Amy pointed to a very interesting thing when she said it's not going to be just about the practice that are there that is changing things. Although I think those practices and the mindset of those who are realizing them makes will have an impact on the long term about how government do things. Because if we have a government which is like in Italy, mostly employ people with a legal background, so mostly lawyer and engineers and people with an economic background, I think that it makes very much sense to say that there is a set of epistemic communities and norms and values which go into a certain orientation. And maybe on the long term, that will change by changing the competence within the government. But at the same time, the point now is not just the design are entering in experimental practice in renovating public sector services and also entering public sector innovation spaces. The point is that now there is possibly, and that's how policymaking works, there is a political interest in making design and the design mindset integral part of what the government does. And for example, in Europe, we have this new European Bauhaus framework, and it was clearly stated by the European Commission through that framework of initiatives that there is a certain value, which are inclusivity, the aesthetic experience, and sustainability, which are key values within how the European Commission should go in addressing the current problem that we have. And if that is the case, it's possibly because they have understood that these are the ingredients through which you can address the crisis that we have today. And those were probably ingredients that were not in the previous recipes of government. So now there is a political interest. And in that political interest, of course, design can try better than in the past. Then is again about how all of that will turn into practices and realization and concrete contribution. And I can also say that, for example, in Italy, I think there is a great role that design can play in digital transformation, given the digital transformation agenda that the national government has here, in which there is a lot of space for collaboration between public administration in a framework of interoperability and also in a framework of enhancing digital skills, which are two key points in the recovery agenda of the Italian government.
Those are really interesting points, because we're talking about transformation, we're talking about digital platforms, we're talking about co-design processes or participatory ones. But we were also talking about design capabilities, right? And for our audience that may be designers, kind of emergent designers, people who are in design school, what do you think, or what would be some recommendations you'd give the audience? Because it seems that there are a couple of strands of design that we're talking about and different pathways to get to work in these areas, right? So any recommendations, any further areas of study that you would encourage young designers to pursue?
Well, if I can go back like 20 years back, well, I think, I mean, design studies are interesting and all still important, but I would also be more open to like social issues and, you know, participate in like political actions more. So just be, you know, engaged in like what's happening in the world, in the society, and how design can be relevant to it. Yeah, just that like thinking more, you know, working on that thought process that can help our design work too, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So having this kind of open mindset to really how design is permeating and impacting our everyday lives, policy realms, and so on. Francesco, you have kind of a very specific research agenda on this data-driven one. Would you suggest any career paths or points for some of our young listeners?
I think that a young designer, my recommendation would be for them to try to go for interdisciplinary and transdisciplinary as much as they can. And that would mean possibly something not very comfortable for them, meaning try to face something that is not design in their practice. And I understand this is not very easy also for someone who's trying to build a career. But I would encourage them to see that the world is plenty of complicated problems through which they can contribute massively to what the things they do and how they think. So in the data driven innovation agenda, in which is a worldwide agenda, one can say, although it changed by country to country, of course, in my research, for example, I try to focus on the idea that the point is not so much in data, but is in how you enable form of collaboration and new thinking about policy problems when you are trying to collect non-traditional data. And that would basically mean that it's all about people and very little about technology. And so I think that young designer can certainly have a role. Perhaps the most easy one is through artifacts, visualization, graphics, and all these things, but even more importantly, through the collaboration they can build, co-design, participatory design, and this strand of collaborative design forms. So I think there is much to do, but I don't have any clear answer. I have a lot of questions myself. I think it's exciting. The only thing is that we should, as a design field, in my opinion, we should reflect about design, but not being taken away by this reification of designers and design, because there is much to do for us. It's about what we do, not about who we are.
That is a really, really great point. And I really like this idea of getting past your comfort zone. I feel that really pushes you to learn, right? To be a continuous learner, to say, well, this is an area that perhaps I'm not very comfortable in, but I will do my best to learn as much as I can and see connection points with what I've done in the past, which I think is a big part of a PhD endeavor, which all of us have gone through. And yes, Francesco.
Yeah, I think that in the Design Policy Network, we the very first reason we gathered together, also with the others, is that we were all struggling outside our comfort zone. So we all have a design background, and we had to face things that which were very far from what we knew before. But I think that it brought us to meet each other, which is a very good thing, and it's very nice to be in this network. At the same time, it allows us to know so much. And I think I totally encourage other people to take the same path and join the conversation also by reaching out to us.
Yeah, indeed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if I can add, I also think that before I started this PhD and, you know, joining this network, policy, public policy was kind of the realm that I never thought of, you know, that I can influence or, you know, I can innovate. So I think, yeah, I think designers should see kind of bigger world, and like they should see how they can actually make a difference in the society.
And I think that's a really, really nice kind of message to wrap up this conversation. Just really encouraging people to see those connections with what is happening out there, go beyond the comfort zone, look at what is happening in their local governments, in their country governments, right? Because this has been quite a trend, and it's happening in many places around the globe. And before we finish, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to let our listeners know where they could follow you, where they can look at your work, because Amy and Francesco have fantastic work, and I really encourage everyone to go and see what they've been up to. So Amy, where can people find you or find your work?
Well, Google Scholar. Well, yeah, so I'm still finishing my PhD. So, but just Google my name, then there will be some papers. Maybe Francesco has a much longer list of publications.
Not really.
No, we will add both your links and all to the end of this episode. But yeah, Francesco, do you have a handle or anything like that where people can find easily what you've been up to?
Well, I do have as Emmy, a Google Scholar profile and a ResearchGate, and I have also LinkedIn, where I try to update the world to what I'm up to. But at the same time, I work within the Department of Design of Politecnico di Milano, of which I'm a proud member. And I work, as you said, for two research entities. One is Polyfactory, and we have a website. And also for the Design Policy Lab, in which I'm addressing the topics that we were discussing this discussion more extensively with my colleagues and fellows. So there you can find the projects we've been up to. And please reach out.
Excellent.
And let's discuss and connect.
Absolutely. So we'll add all of those links so that people can find you easily. And yes, we encourage listeners that are interested in this topic to reach out. We are an ever-growing community and are happy to keep the conversation going. Francesco, Amy, I want to thank you for your time today. This was fantastic as our first episode for this mini-series on designing for policy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sophia.
Thank you very much. It's been good.
Thank you for joining us on Designing Transition. Follow us on Twitter at DENTransition and make sure to visit our website, tinyurl.com/theintransition, where you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. See you at the next episode. Gracias por acompañarnos en Diseño en Transición. Síguenos en Twitter en @theintransition Y también puedes visitar nuestro sitio web tinyurl.com/theintransition, donde puedes suscribirte al podcast ya sea en iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify o en tu aplicación favorita. Nos vemos en el próximo episodio.